Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadi Zayin. If you prefer, 5 lines before they get wide. The Gemara. Itmar hatoikef sfinoso shel chiro v'oso bo melocha. Someone who overtakes, or grabs a boat belonging to his friend, and he uses it for his own purposes. Omar Rav, Rotso Schora Noitel, Rotso Pachso Noitel. Now, the term Osobo Melocha literally would mean he did work with it. So he used the boat for his own purposes. Rav says that the owner of the boat can demand either Schora, the rental value of it, or the posa. Posa is the wear and tear. Rashi, in the upper part of the narrow line, says posa im nishbro niskagla, if it broke or depreciated, udme pichaso yiserin al shara, and the expense or the value of that depreciation is greater than the rental, than the value of the rental, noitel dme pichaso, the owner can demand the wear and tear value. That's Rav's opinion. Ushmuel Omar Eino Noitel Ela Pichasa. The owner demands or can demand only depreciation. Omar Rav Popo Lo Pligi. Rav and Shmuel are not actually arguing with one another. It depends on circumstances. Ha de Avido La Agra. Ha de Lo Avido La Agra. If it's a boat that is ordinarily rented out, then Rav's teaching applies. There's an option for him to demand the rental value. Rashi says in the upper, again, we're more or less where we left off, Alvi la'agra, mistamra, it's most likely, kinochis law, when the person took over the boat, adaito da'agra nochis, he took it over with the intention of its rental aspect. Hilkoch lav b'teres gazlon daininon lei. We don't view him as a thief. V'noisein schora al korcho im rabin hein al debe pichaso. And he has to pay the rental fee, even against his will, if it happens to be greater than the wear and tear. So in the case of a rental boat, if it's a boat that is, generally speaking, rented out, we assume he grabbed the boat instead of legitimately renting it, he grabbed it because of its rental aspect. On the other hand, if it's not, as the Gemara says, ha de lo ovid la agra, if it's not designed for renting, then the one who grabbed it will pay only the devaluation or the depreciation value. The Iboyasema, another approach to the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, ha v'ha David Alagra. Both are speaking about a boat that is ordinarily rented out. Ha denochis le adaita da agra, v'ha denochis le adaita de gazlanusa. Let's take a look at Rashi. Nochis literally means he descended upon it, he took it over. Nochis le adaita da agra, if he grabbed the boat, in order to save himself from having to rent it. So he grabbed it because he didn't want to rent it. Rotsa schora noitel. The owner can demand the rental from him. V'im pichaso yesra schora. And if the wear and tear, the depreciation, exceeds the value of the rental, noitel demei pichaso, he can demand the wear and tear amount. After all, this gentleman forcibly took the boat, so it's a type of theft. The next Rashi, Nochis lo adaita de gazlan, who saw if he took over the boat for the purpose of stealing it. Afilu schara godol mipichasa. Here's what I found to be very interesting. Here his intention was to literally steal the boat. In a case like that, even if the rental value is greater than the wear and tear, lo yohiv elo pechasa, the thief will pay only the depreciation. The kol hagazlonim mishalmin kishas hagzela. All thieves pay according to the value of the item stolen at the time of the theft. So he'll return the boat, and then there was the depreciation that occurred through the wear and tear. He'll pay that in, we'll say, a cash payment. So with the return of the boat and that cash payment for wear and tear, he is returning that which was that value that was at the time of the theft. We continue in the Gemara. Gozal matbea v'nisdak. We saw in the Mishnah a case of someone stealing a coin and the coin cracked. The Mishnah went on with additional examples. Peros v'hirkivu spoke about someone who stole fruits and they rotted. Mishalem kishas hagzela. You pay what their value was at the time of the theft. I think we should make an assumption here that when you see Mishalim Kishas Hagzela, you're talking about in this particular case, in this sukya, that's reflective of something that experienced a total loss. Because we want to contrast that with Matbea V'Nifsal, and if the thief stole a coin and the government ruled it to be not current anymore, the ruling of the Mishnah there was the thief can say take it back as it is. Omar Rav Huna nistak mamish. When the Mishnah speaks about cracking, it means literally the coin cracked. Nifsal, which you see there was a different standard applying to the case of Nifsal. What does Nifsal mean? Pasaltel malchus. The kingdom is comprised of many, we'll say, states, which we'll refer to by the term Medina. So when you, a malchus is a form or an aspect of governing authority that is an umbrella over many Medinos. So if the malchus deems the coin of no value, it renders it puzzle, a void. So it cannot be spent, not in this Medina, nor in another Medina that's part of that same Malchus. Historically, we had cases like a Greek Empire, a Persian Empire, a Roman Empire. They comprised many countries, many Medinas. The diamond that you see is explained on the side under our Nosei Mivne heading, with a topic heading with a structural note combined into one. The diamond highlights shnei deos, two opinions, mahi nifsal matbea. What is meant by nifsal matbea demasnisen in the Mishnah? The oimer regarding nifsal, the Mishnah ruled, the thief says, hareshel halufanecha. Take it as it is, which implies demashma eno nezeg gomor. It's not a total loss. Rav Huna, we'll see in the Gemara, speaks about Pasalto Malchus. The government, the kingdom, rendered it unfit. Rav Yehuda says Pasalto Medina Zu. This particular country, the more local kind of governing authority, rendered it or voided the coin. The Yetzei b'Medina Cheres. It, however, still is current in another Medina. Those are the two opinions that we'll see in the Gemara. We have a little chart on the in the other margin that reflects what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah Katoni, we have two going across the top of the chart. You see Mishalim Shesek Zela, and you see Harei Shel Cholafonecha. You have the two types of payments. One is the thief has to pay in accordance with its value at the time of the theft. And we saw that in the case of going down that column, Gozal Matbea V'Nisdak, Peros V'Hirkivu. If a coin was cracked or fruit rotted. Regarding the items that the Mishnah says, Harei Shel Cholafonecha, we saw Matbea V'Nifsal, and under that, Truma V'Nitmes. Truma, a tithe given to the Kohanim, that became defiled. The term Nifsal, just to review, according to Rav Huna, is Pasalto Malchus, and according to Rav Yehuda, Pasalto Medina. Now we turn to the Gemara. We read Rav Huna, who said Nistak meant literally cracked, and Nifsal is Pasalto Malchus. Rav Yehuda Omar Pasalto Malchus Nami Hainu Nistak. As far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, an entire empire deeming the coin void is no less severe a loss than Nistak, than cracked. It's a total loss. And as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, in the case of Nifsal Malchus, the thief would have to pay Kishas Hagzela. He would have to pay according to the value of that particular coin at the time of the theft, i.e. before it was voided. Elohechi Domi Nifsal. What is Nifsal according to Rav Yehuda that the thief can say Harei Shelcha Lefonecha, take it back as it is. Shepasaltoi Medina Zu V'yoytza B'Medina Acheres. This local, or say more local government, rendered it unfit, rendered voided it, but it's still current in another Medina. So as far as Pasalto Malchus is concerned, we have again a little chart on the side where we've written in Pasalto Malchus. According to Rav Huna, that's the Mishnah in its simple form that you say Harei Shel Cholafonecha. According to Rav Yehuda, in a case of Pasalto Malchus, that's like Nistak, like cracked, and you would pay Kishas Hagzela. Now, the Gemara continues. Omar Le Rav Chisda Le Rav Huna. We've used a double underline to highlight where Rav Huna and later Rav Yehuda will be addressed. In this case, Rav Chisda addresses Rav Huna, and a few lines later, you'll see Rabba addressing Rav Yehuda. So Rav Chisda asks, Le Rav Huna, Le Didcha Di Amris, according to you that said Nifsal, Pasalto Malchus, and regarding Nifsal, the Mishnah says, Harei Shel Cholafonecha, take it back as it is. Harei Peiros V'Hirkivu, Yayin V'Hichmitz, a fruit that went rot, that rotted, wine that soured, D'chi Pasalto Malchus Domi, it's like a total loss. That's a total loss, just like a coin that the kingdom voided, total loss. Peiros V'Hirkivu, Yayin V'Hichmitz, total loss. What does the Mishnah say about Peiros V'Hirkivu? V'Katoni, Mishalim Kishas Hagzela. The Mishnah describes the payment method of Peiros V'Hirkivu is you got to pay the value at the time of the theft, which is, as we indicated before, a sign of a total loss. Amalei, so Rav Huna responds. He says, there is a difference. Hasam, in the case of the peros and the yayin, the fruit and the wine that went bad, nishtana tamoi v'rechoi, the taste and the smell went bad. Total loss. Hacha, in the case of the coin, lo nishtana. There was no intrinsic change in the coin. So therefore, by the matbea v'nifsal, even though it's pasalto malchus, you can say Harei Shel Cholafonecha. Omer le Rabba le Rav Yehuda, le didcha di amris pasalto malchus nami hainu nisdak. According to you, that describes the kingdom voiding of the coin as if it was cracked, total loss. and you, Rav Yehuda, say, pay kishas hagzela, pay in accordance with the value at the time of the theft. Hare truma v'nitmeis, the truma tithe that becomes defiled is useless. It's burnt. Dechi pasalto malchus domi, that's like pasalto malchus. V'kotoni, and regarding truma v'nitmeis, the Mishnah says, Omer lo hare shelcha lefanecha. Even though you have something that's a total loss, the thief can say, take it back as it is. That's with the truma v'nitmeis. So how do you reconcile that with your approach to pasalto machus being like nistak, where you pay kishas hagzela? Amar lei, so Rav Yehuda responds, hosam, in the case of truma v'nitmeis, lo minkar hezeka, the damage is not visible. It's essentially a spiritual type loss, the defilement. Therefore, since it's not nikur, it's not visible, recognizable, the loss is not recognizable, the thief can say, Hare shel chalafanecha, take it back as it is. Ha-ha. Where it's pasalto malchus, where the entire kingdom voided it, minkar hezeka, the nezek, the damage, is recognizable. We take a look at Rashi, about six lines from the bottom. Hocha minkira hezeka, shein surazu, the imprimatur on the coin, the form on the coin, is not doime letzura shokola yotze machshav, like any of the other coins that are currently current. Ukishagazla himenu hayu kol tzura samadino shavazla. But as opposed to the time of theft, all the other coins were similar to this one. Now, it's not. So that's called a recognizable damage. And therefore, Rav Yehuda tells us that in Pasato Machus, it's like Nistak, and you say, the payment is Kishas Hagzela. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that we continue with a new trend of thought. We have a topic heading which reads Love Shalokach Prachmakia Balva. Someone that we'll say borrowed, but that's maybe not the best word. He took a possession of, we'll say, of goods, of articles, of items, on loan. Meaning that he's taking items, they have a specific value, and they agree that he will pay a certain amount of money sometime later. So love shelokach pragmatia bahalva the kotsatz shavyoi lefi matbea mesuyam, and they established the value and the amount he'll have to pay according to a certain coin. Ukshigiasman piron, and when pay time came, nifsala hamatbea, that coin, that currency that they agreed to be the form of payment, was deemed void. With what coin will the borrower pay his debt? When the original agreement was an agreement to pay with a particular currency, but in the meantime that currency has been voided, what should he do now by way of paying? Under our mishnah, our structural note, you can see we have a bow tie. And we indicate Hasimun Hazeh Miuad Litzor Kesher Im Hagemara Likra Soifo Mitbeis. This mark is designed to create a connection and association with the Gemara that you'll find at the lower part of Omid Beis. The Gemara. Itmar Hamalve Es Chaveroi Al Hamadbea. The Nifsuva Hamadbea. As we explained, someone took possession of articles with the agreement that he will pay at a later date using a particular type of currency, and in the meantime, that currency became voided. Rav Omar, so Rav rules, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Noisein loy matbeya hayoytse ba'oyse shah. He is to pay with the currency that is accepted at the time of payback. Rashi at the top, noisein lo matbeya hayoytse b'shas piron. He will use the currency that's current at the time of payup. He accepted upon himself to pay a coin. V'hai lav matbeahu. The original coin is not a coin anymore. V'davke huveu pragmatia. This applies only in a case where the loan or the called the borrowing was in terms of merchandise with the agreement to pay back in currency. Aval, maybe. We should simply say he bought merchandise on credit. Here the Gemara is referring to it as a loan, hence we were using the term loan. But it's essentially possessing or taking possession of articles of merchandise on credit with the agreement to pay back a coin. So the payback would have to be, according to Rav, in terms of the accepted currency at the time of payback. The agreement was, you're going to pay me back not in other merchandise, but in a coin. And hence, the voided coin is no longer a coin. So how do you pay back? With the acceptable currency at the time of payback. Rashi goes on, Aval hilveu mos. If it was a straightforward loan of cash, es shilveu mishalim lo. That which you borrowed, you will pay back. Even if the payback is the old currency that's no longer accepted, that's the way it goes. He pays back that which he borrowed. We continue. Ushmuel Omar, Yochol Loimalo. Shmuel says, as far as the paying back with the old currency, it is actually an option. The fellow who took possession of the merchandise can use the old currency to pay back, and with the claim saying Lech Hitzio B'Meshan. Meshan is another country. It's the name of another country. Go and use this coin. Use these coins over there. Spend it over there. Omar Rav Nachman Mistabra Milsei De Shmuel De Islei Urcha Lemeza Lemeshan. Shmuel's reasoning is most likely if the lender, the one who extended the merchandise, plans to go. He's on his way to, plans to go to Meshan. So the borrower, the fellow who acquired the merchandise, has a legitimate excuse to use the old currency, by claiming that you, the lender, are not going to be suffering any loss because you're going to be able to spend it in Meshan, which is your destination. But if the lender is not planning to go, he has no plans to go to Meshan, he's not destined to go to Meshan, then the borrower cannot offer the old currency as a means of payment. From this discussion, it becomes fairly apparent that when the Gemara spoke about the coin being rendered pusul, voided, it was voided in the immediate area, but in a faraway location, that currency was still acceptable. So Rav Nachman qualifies Shmuel and says this idea of paying back with the old currency and with the claim, go spend it, use it in Meshan, is only if the lender is on his way or plans to go there. As we go on in the Gemara, you're going to see a very active discussion, give and take. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh that was preceded by a structural, by a tatnosei a subtopic heading. Let's read what we've written, even though we've already described it. Tatnose means a subtopic heading. HaGemora Chikeres has Beirush Rav Nachman. The Gemara will analyze Rav Nachman's explanation B'shita Shmuel within Shmuel. She's Beir that explained the Hadi Omar Shmuel, that which Shmuel said, the Efsher L'shalim B'matbeah Shenifsal, that you can pay back with a voided currency. The Yochel HaMalve L'hoitzil B'meishan, because the lender can spend it in Meishan. Hainu im yesh lamalve derech lemeishan. That's if the malve, the lender, is planning to go to Meishan. As the Gemara unfolds, we encounter triangles in alternating directions. So under our mivne, under our structural note, we've indicated with the point facing up. By the way, we call this a ma'akav. A ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of the give and take. So the point facing up are she'elois, are questions, and the inverted triangle represents tshuvos, responses. And if you scan the Gemara, you'll notice how this continues more than halfway down the Omid. Now the Gemara. We open with a question, a long question. Esve Ravel or Rav Nachman. This source that you see in the frame deals with the topic of redeeming Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is a tithe that people separate on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the seven-year agricultural cycle. The fruits are expected to be brought to Jerusalem and eaten there, 10% of a person's harvest. In the event that it's too much, he has the option of redeeming the sanctity of the fruits on cash and bringing the cash to Jerusalem and spending it there on food. What is considered a legitimate form of redemption? So that's what this source deals with. Ein mechalalin. Mechalalin means to redeem, to transfer the sanctity from the fruits onto cash. So ein mechalalin al hamois she'enom yoytzeis. You cannot redeem the meiser sheni produce on cash that is not expendable. Not expendable at all in Yerushalayim. The reason behind that is it's not called kesef tzura. The term kesef tzura is a takeoff on the posuk v'tzarta kesef biyodecha, where the posuk says that you redeem your meiser sheni fruits and onto cash and onto minted coins, and you take it to Yerushalayim. If you're dealing with coins that are not yoytze, it's not spendable at all in Jerusalem, that's not called kesef tzura, which is the requirement of the Torah. Cash with a minted form on it. Ketzad. Let's see an illustration of this. Hoyulo mo'ois kezoviois yerushalmiois. Oishel melochim horishoinim ein mechalalin. He had mo'os are coins. Kozovios Yerushalmios. Rashi has two explanations as to what that is. The first explanation is it's a coin from the Bar Kochva era. Rashi refers to him by the name Bar Kuziva. I think he's more popularly known as Bar Kochva, a Jewish leader figure who lived after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva was a contemporary of his, and Rashi says that according to the first, we'll say, version, it's Kezovios Yerushalmios. It's the version that we have in our text. Or coins of the Melachim Rishonim, the early kings, preceding monarchs. Peculiar to these coins is that they're not expendable at all. So the source is telling us you cannot redeem your Meiser Sheni on those coins. Now, we infer. We continue in the Gemara with an inference. Achrona means later kings, current governing authorities that are similar to the early ones. What do we mean by that, similar to the early ones? Well, the early ones we just described as coins that are not expendable. What then do you mean by current monarchs that are similar to the early ones? So Rashi explains. Hoshel Achronim, let's read the Rashi. Denafki b'medina acheres. These are coins that are expendable in another region. Fedumia de Rishonim hu bekach. They're similar to the early monarchs' coins. The ein yotzes kan b'mekayim shabal bayis. They're not expendable here where the owner of the fruits lives. Shenifsalu bekan. They've been voided over here. So where the source itself said that the coins of the early kings which are totally void, that is not acceptable for redeeming your Maaser Sheni. However, coins that are expendable somewhere else, you are able to redeem on them. So you're in location A, the coins are expendable in location B, and we infer from this source that's a legitimate type of redemption. And now the main point. Even though you have no plans of going to that other place. What do we mean by that you have no plans of going to that other place? Where are you going to go with these coins? You're going to go to Jerusalem with these coins. We look at Rashi, Mechalalin, V'yafagav, the leslei urcha lahasam b'mokam shiotzin. Even though you have no plans of going to that place where they are expendable, sharei b'Yerushalayim tzorach leilech ulotzion, because you have to go to Jerusalem and spend them. V'kashi l'Rav Nachman aliba de Shmuel. This is a problem for Rav Nachman, who qualified Shmuel d'yamar avol leslei urcha l'meishanot. He said, if you don't have plans to go to that place where they're expendable, then you can't use it as a payment. Here, we're viewing the redemption of the Maaser Sheni as a type of payment. And it's okay, even though you're not planning to go to that place where they're expendable. We continue in the Gemara. Amalei, Rav Nachman, who has to defend himself, says, Hacha b'mayaskinon, this source from which we inferred that you can mechala, that you can redeem, k'she'ein malchios makpidois zu al zu. He describes a situation where the various kingdoms are not contemptful toward one another. Let us take a look at the little note that we have on the side. We have a little starred note. Sikum divrei Rav Nachman ad lifnei ha-shela. It's just a summary of what Rav Nachman says before we continue on to the next question. So it's as follows. Malchios ein makpidos. If you have a situation where kingdoms are tolerant of one another, lo boi derech lahasam, then the requirement acceptance of payment because you have a plan to go there is not necessary. You don't need to have that in place in order for it to be acceptable. Number two, malchios makpidos, if kingdoms are contemptful of one another, then we say, ein lo derech hasam, if the individual receiving the payment has no plans of going to the other kingdom where the coins are expendable, then you cannot pay with a coin that's expendable only over there. Yesh lo derech, if he does have a plan to go there, then yochol l'shalem lo. So now, with that in mind, Ella, we continue now with the question. Ella, ki Omar Shmuel, Rav Nachman, according to Shmuel, he said that if there's no plan to go to Meishan, then you cannot, as the borrower cannot offer as payment coins that are expendable only there. So ki Omar Shmuel kishemalchios makpido zuazu. Shmuel then spoke about Shmuel's din. Shmuel was speaking then about a case, a world situation where kingdoms were contemptful toward one another. Well, if that's the case, hechi motzi mamti luhu, how can you say that, well, when you have plans to go there, it's an acceptable form of payment? But the kingdoms, you have to cross government lines.
They're not going to let you cross. How is it then an acceptable form of payment if you have a plan to go there? Let's take a look at Rashi. Kishemachius makpidos bitmiya. We read that with a tone of wonderment. Is Shmuel's din then when machios or makpidos zu al zu? Then ihachi ki islay urcha lemeishan. If that's the case, that then when the lender is planning to go to meishan, eichi motzi mamtilu. How can he bring those coins, the meishan coins from where he is now, to meishan when he's crossing? We'll say lines of contempt. When the current location, governmental forces check out our traveler, and they find he's carrying the coins of another kingdom of the Meishan people. They're gonna confiscate them from him. The Gemara answers. A rather practical answer. The lo bachashi v'mishkechi kapti. They don't check him out. It's not a thorough check with all kinds of sophisticated electronic scanning equipment. They don't check him out. If they find, if they happen to find him, then they will be contemptful. So, therefore, we say that if the lender is planning to go there, he'll accept those coins and attempt to get over the lines without being caught. They're not going to check him out so thoroughly, and he'll spend them over there. If he has no plans of going there, what's he going to do? Show those coins to people over here? Well, they'll get very upset, and there's no chance of his expending them over here where he is right now. Let's continue in the Gemara. Toshma. Now, the triangle with the point facing up indicates another question. We have, a source dealing with the redemption of Meiser Sheni. Ein mechalin al mois. One is not to redeem the Meiser Sheni on cash shel kan vehein bebovel, v'shel bovel vehein kan. Kan is a reference to Jerusalem. So one shall not redeem on monies that are Jerusalem monies, when the monies are in Bovel along with the owner of the fruits. So if you have if you're in Bovel and you have Jerusalem currency, so we're telling you do not redeem the Meiser Sheni fruits on Jerusalem currency while they are in Bovel along with the owners. V'shel Bovel v'hein kan, and likewise do not use Bovel currency for redemption when the Bovel currency is here in Jerusalem along with the owner. Shel Bovel vehein bebovel mechalin. If you have Bovel currency, Babylonian currency, and they along with the owners are in Bovel, you can redeem. Kotoni mias. It says, however, in this source, ein mechalin al moz shel kan vehein bebovel. You can't use Jerusalem currency that is currently in Bovel for the redemption of your Meiser Sheni. Afagav de soifel meisak losim. Even though you are planning to go there, you're going to be. What do you do with the redeemed, with the money that absorbed the redemption? You're taking it to Jerusalem. So, according to Shmuel, as Rav Nachman interpreted things, that if you're planning to go to that destination, then using the coins of the destination is a legitimate form of payment. Why then here is it no good? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon. This source is describing a particular situation. Kishemalchios makpidoi zuazu. There is great contempt between the kingdoms. When you're crossing governmental lines from Bovel with your Jerusalem currency, in this case, as opposed to what we said before, they check you out very thoroughly. And it's dangerous to have to have Jerusalem coins while approaching the Bovel border, where they'll check you out before you cross over into the Jerusalem kingdom. Ihachi, if that's the case, then shall Bavel vein beBavel lamai chazu. Babylonian currency located in Bavel with the owners in Bavel, of what are they worth? He's not going to be able to take them to Jerusalem. How in the world then can you redeem your Meiser Sheni produce? And by the way, I didn't mention it earlier, but Rashi makes the point, the location of the fruits themselves is irrelevant. You can redeem the fruits wherever they are. But we know that the money that's going to absorb the redemption has to end up in Jerusalem. And if it's Malchios Makpidos Zu Al Zu in a very thorough way, what value is there redeeming your Meiser Sheni produce on Babylonian currency while in Bavel? Answer, there is value. Chazu Dezavin Behu Behemo Masik Yerushalayim. Once you redeem the sanctity of the Meiser Sheni fruits onto the cash, you can then take that cash and buy with it an animal. The animal, you'll then take the animal that will have Meiser Sheni sanctity and bring it to Yerushalayim and slaughter it and eat it as per the laws of Meiser Sheni. So what we've done so far, as we've presented various questions and answers within Rav Nachman's explanation of Shmuel. You'll notice that we have a semicolon. This question is, we've marked it with a triangle to indicate a question, but essentially it's a question on that which we had before. Why before did we say that you cannot redeem on Bavel coins while those Bavel coins are in Jerusalem? V'hotanya, but we have a source that says Hiskinu, they made an enactment. Shukol hamois yotzis b'shleim mipnei kach. An enactment was made that in Jerusalem all currency shall be accepted. Omar Rabbi Zera, lo kashya, kan the there's no problem. We can resolve it as follows. Kan bizman shiad Yisrael tekifal umos ha'olam. Source that we just read, that an enactment was made that coins of all locations will be acceptable in Jerusalem, is at a time that the Jewish people had the upper hand. The hand of the Jews was stronger over the nations of the world. Means the Jews were not threatened by any foreign authorities. So they could make such an enactment. However, Khan, that which we said, that you cannot use Babylonian currency that's located in Jerusalem, that's Khan Bizman Shiat Umos Ha'olam Takifal Atzmon. That's a euphemism here. If we translate it literally, it's when the hand of the nations of the world are strong upon themselves. It means, instead of saying on the Jews, it says al atzmon, but that's the idea. The government authorities of the foreign governments have the upper hand, and hence to use a Babylonian currency in Jerusalem won't work. Tanu Rabbanan, Ezu Matbea Shirushalayim. What is the coin of Jerusalem? Answer, David Ushlomo Mitzad Echot, V'Yushalayim Ir HaKadosh Mitzad Acher. The names of the original kings of the Davidic dynasty, David and Solomon, David and Shlomo, are written on one side of the coin, and Jerusalem, the holy city, is written on the other side of the coin. It's pointed out in the Tosfos that one would not expect Jewish coins to have actual human images on them, as that is a problem when it comes to halachic considerations. Rashi himself says, with regard to David and Shlomo, Kosuv Mitzad Echad. It's written, not faces, but rather the Dovin Shmuel are written on one side, and on the other side, Kosuv Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. That phrase appears on the other side. We continue in the Gemara. V'ezo matbea shel Avram Avinu. The source is making reference to Avram Avinu had a coin. Tosfos at the bottom quotes the Medrash that expounds on the pasuk va'agad lo shemecha, that the Almighty promised for Abraham to have his name increased, made large, literally, and that's a reference to coinage that had a reference to him. With that in mind, so we're asking, what is the coin of Avram? Answer: Zokein uzikeno mitzad echad, literally the old man and old woman on one side, and Rashi says Avram v'Sara. They were old when they the pasuk describes them as that when they were going to have their child Yitzchak, and that's on one side of the coin. Ubochru b'sula mitzad acher. Bochru b'sula is a reference to Yitzchak and Rivka on the other side of the coin. From the Tosfos commentary at the bottom, the coin of Avram had the words Zokein and Zekena on one side. We made reference to Avram and Sora. They are the individuals represented by the words Zokein and Zekena. And likewise, Bochur and Besula are words that were on the obverse side of the coin that were references to Yitzchak and Rivka. Bo mine Rava me Rav Chisda. Rava asks of Rav Chisda. Now, a question is going to be raised according to, or have bearing in mind, Shitas Rav that we saw before. Rav, if you recall, in the case of a person taking possession of merchandise, from receiving it from someone who agreed to payment in terms of currency. With that in mind, we have a topic heading on the side. Amalvis chaveru shum pragmatia. Someone extends merchandise to someone on loan or on consignment with the agreement that there will be payback in currency. Ukshigia shas piron hosifo lamatbea. And when the payment came back, the original coinage that they agreed to use as payback was increased. In other words, the size of the coin was increased. I think that we should make a certain assumption that, contrary to contemporary coins, which don't have any intrinsic value, in the time of the Gemara and actually up to fairly recent times, coins had intrinsic value. They were made of valuable metals. And you could have, imagine something like the silver dollar. And that very silver dollar was increased in size. That is what increased in size, meaning physically increased in size. If originally it measured an inch and a half in diameter and had a certain quarter of an inch thickness, it was increased to 2 inches in diameter, just as a random example. That's the issue of hosifu alamat be'ah. How is the payment, the payback, to be made if the merchandise was, let us say, receipt was agreed that payback would be in terms of $10, we'll say 10 silver dollars, and in the interim, before payback time arrived, they increased the size of those silver dollars. How should payback be made without getting involved with the problem of interest, of having received a certain amount of value and then returning more in value later on? So the Gemara raises this question. Rava asks of Rav Chisda that Hamalves Chavero al Hamatbea Remember the bow tie mark where we said this ties into the original bow tie that we saw in Omid Aleph, where Rav said that payback is made in terms of currency at the time of payback. V'hosifu alav. In this case, it's not that the coin was voided, but that very coin that they agreed to use as payback was increased in size. How is payback to be made? So that if, as we said, if the merchandise was received with the intention of 10 silver coins, 10 silver dollars to be used as payback, and in the interim the size of those silver dollars was increased, what is he going to do? Is he going to give back again 10 larger silver dollars? If you receive merchandise that was valued in accordance with 10 regular size or small size silver dollars, and you're going to be paying back to the original owner of the merchandise 10 large silver dollars, you're involving yourself with a problem of paying back more than you received. Omar lo, so Rav Chisda answers, noisein lo matbea hayoytze ba'oyse shah. He will pay back using the coin that is used, that is current at the time of payback. Even if it's as large as a nafya, as a sifter. Yes. Even if it's a coin as large as a measure that holds a tartya. Tartya is a measure. It's a relative to the original size of the coin. It's a much larger amount. Amalein, he says yes. Well, but v'hal kozailin piri. Now, we'll translate this literally and then offer a little more explanation. V'hal kozailin piri means, but relative to the coin, fruits are much cheaper. What does that mean? That means that with the original size coin, you would be able to get 1 pound of apples. With the increased size coin, you're able to buy 2 pounds of apples. So that you received the buying power for 1 pound, and now you're paying back buying power of 2 pounds. Is that not a problem of interest? Are you not paying back more than you received? Omar Ravashi, Chazinon, we look into this, we evaluate. E machmas tivozil, if we say that the increased buying power is a result of the coin, tivo is like the word matbea. If it's a result of the coin being increased in size, now you can get more fruits for that particular coin, then minakinon lei, then we have to subtract. We have to make a reevaluation. Literally, minakino, we subtract, so that if the original 10 coins would buy 10 pounds and the new size coin would buy 20 pounds, so instead of giving 10 coins back, you'll pay back with 5 of the new larger coins. The 5 new larger coins have the same buying power as the 10 smaller original coins. So if the increase of fruit power, quantity that you can buy with the new coins is a function of the increased size of the coin, so then, as we said, we have to make an adjustment. Minakinale, a subtraction and an adjustment. We continue at the top of the Tzadi Ches. Ve'i machmas tarazil, if it's because taro in Hebrew is shar. Shar is the market rate for fruits. The fruits became cheap not because of the increase of the size of the metal in the coin, but because there was a bumper crop, because there's an oversupply of crops because of ample rainfall, unexpectedly large amount of rain falling, creating increased growth of produce, and when the supply exceeds the demand, so the price will fall. And if the fall in the price is the buying power of the new coin is increased, not because of the metal increase value of the coin, but rather because of this excessive crop availability, then we're not going to make that adjustment, and the fellow will pay back the currency that is currently currently appears in the marketplace. All true, they're larger size than the original coins. So be it. The Gemara asks, what do you mean, so be it? You have increase in terms of metal quantity. Nasko, we saw in a recent sugi, is a bar of silver. The merchandise that you extended on a consignment basis to the borrower was valued, had the value of 10 silver dollars. Again, just a random example. And those 10 silver dollars altogether weighed, just randomly, I don't know exactly what they weigh, but imagine they weighed 500 grams. You're going to be now paying back 10 silver dollars that are increased in size. They've been doubled in size. So instead of 500 grams, they're going to be worth, it has the weight of 1,000 grams, a kilo. So are you not, in fact, paying back more than you received? You received merchandise valued at 500 grams of silver, and now you're returning silver twice as much, 1,000 grams? So are you not, is it not so that the payback represents an increase in terms of naska value? And again, that's a problem of ribis. Elo kiha, rather the solution is as follows: kiha de Rav Papa Rav Huna Rav Yeshua Avdi Uvdo Bezuzi da Agardamis Taya Ad Asora Betamya. Apparently, Rav Papa and Rav Huna had encountered a situation just like we've described. Someone who had extended merchandise with the intention of payback to be made in currency. In an interim, the currency was increased in size. They went to a fellow by the name of Agardamis, the Arab. He was a money changer, a person who dealt in currency, and he had in his shop, he had original coins. He had the old coins as well as the new coins. And it turned out that 8 of the new coins was equal in size to 10 of the old coins. And what they ruled is that the payback will be in terms of 8 of the new coins. So the 8 of the new coins represents the same amount as the silver value or metallic content as 10 of the original coins. So that by paying back now 8 of the new increased size coins, you're not paying back more than that value that you had received in the merchandise, which had been valued at the 10 original smaller size coins. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.